makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Strange as it seems, the common everyday cold costs the people of America as much as $1 million a day. And while we don't know what causes colds, we do know some simple rules for their prevention and care. Here they are. Get enough sleep. Eat sensibly. Dress warmly. Keep your feet dry. And, of course, keep regular. But in keeping regular, be sure that the laxative you choose is the right one for you. For 29 years, X-Lax has proved to the satisfaction of millions that it is the right laxative for everybody, men, women, and children, rich and poor alike. Because, you see, X-Lax is as mild and gentle as a laxative should be. Yet it is effective, thorough. Then, too, it is so delightful to take. It tastes just like smooth, velvety chocolate. Everyone needs help at times, and when you do, won't you try X-Lax and find out for yourself how good, how pleasant it is, and how economical, too? It is just 10 cents a box at any drugstore. The Beard Tax. In the United States, a man has the constitutional right to wear a beard if he wants to. But in the days of Peter the Great in Russia, things were different. Russia. It is 1698 in the town of Preobrashenskoye. Peter the Great is on a military campaign. He's in a bad humor and doesn't mind who knows it. Several of his officers are seated around him, wondering where his wrath will fall next.
What's the trouble with you Russians? When I left you to go to Europe, I thought you were men. I didn't expect to find a single person in all Europe that would compare with my countrymen. Well, I was wrong. Not one of you has the brains, the manners, the appearance of a European. You talk like idiots, you act like pigs, you look like hairy baboons. They'd laugh every one of you off the streets in Paris.
At least we share your filthy straw at night and eat the awful meat at your table.
What, Alexis Plodov? How dare you speak to me that way? You're emperor.
Why not? We walk through icy torrents for you. We march for miles across the steppes for you. We live for your wishes, and we kill for your wishes. We even give up our women to your wishes. Don't we, men?
Yes, that is right.
And then you insult us by comparing us to a simpering European. Is that the way you reward us for our loyalty?
I do as I wish. You're my subjects. If I don't like you the way you are, I have the right to make you over so you'll suit my fancy.
The next thing you will do is to shave our faces, deck us out in skirts, and make us fawn at your feet like a bunch of giggling women.
Not a bad idea, Alexis.
Your Majesty, what do you mean?
By heaven, I reward you for that idea. I'll make you Russian civilized yet. Miska.
Yes, Imperial Majesty.
Hand me my scissors.
Very well, Imperial Majesty.
Yes, a very good idea.
But what are you going to do? Cut us to pieces?
You shall see.
Oh, I'm willing to die. I would prefer it to serving a spineless European.
Here are the scissors, Imperial Majesty.
Good. Now, come here, Alexis. I shall begin on you.
I am ready, Your Majesty.
Hold your chin up. Now, off comes that beard.
Oh, but, Your Majesty,
there.
I beg of
you. You look less like a bear every moment. There. Now. By heaven, Alexis, if you were not so tall, I'd swear you were a European.
I'm glad I've given your majesty some pleasure.
Now, cheer up. You aren't to be the only one. Ladislaus, you come next.
Never.
Come here, I say.
I tell you, I'll not be disgraced.
Oh, no? I'm 3 times your size. Don't forget that.
It's taken me years to grow this beard. Have mercy.
Come here.
No, your majesty. No, you
have. Down you go. On my lap. Now.
Stop.
If you move a muscle, I'll break your back. Then keep your head quiet, or I might touch your eyes. Now, Ladislaus, off it comes.
Oh, my beard.
From now on, gentlemen, I'm going to insist on the men of my court shaving themselves.
Oh,
then, if I catch any of you with a beard, it shall go hard with you.
Oh, your majesty.
Now. There now, Ladislaus. You'd never recognize yourself.
Your majesty, your subjects will flee the country rather than give up their beards.
I will prevent them.
They will rebel.
Rebel? I know how to deal with that. I shall... But wait, Alexis. Russia needs money. If anyone does not wish to do as I ask, I shall tax his beard.
Tax?
The longer the beard, the heavier the tax. From now on, my country will be worthy to be part of Europe if I have to shave every man in Russia myself. Silence! Officers, repair to your quarters. Tonight at dinner, we will drink a toast. A toast to your absent beard.
Strange as it seems, Peter the Great sought to make Russia a more civilized country by insisting that every man go clean shaven. There were so many rebellions that he eventually merely levied a tax. Even as late as 1929, a small town in Russia levied a tax on beards in imitation of the first great member of the Romanov family. The Race of the Lone Sailors. Have you ever felt the thrill of these words by Masefield? I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea in the sky. And all that I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. There are men who feel this sea fever all their lives. Would you like to sail across the Atlantic Ocean all by yourself? Some men have done it. In fact, two decided to race each other across. Each had a 14-foot dory, like an overgrown rowboat, complete with sail. It is 1890 in Boston, Massachusetts. Captains W.A. Andrews and Josiah Lawler are making their little boats ready for the race across the Atlantic. Just before they embark, they have a few last words with each other.
Well, Captain Andrews, have a good trip.
I will, Captain Lawler. I will. By the great horn spoon, I haven't sailed the seven seas for nothing.
Me too. I've always had a sort of hankering to go across the Atlantic by myself. Once when I was alone on the bridge sailing from Batavia to Hong Kong and watching the dawn coming up like thunder, the way Kipling says, I suddenly wished I could stand there alone forever, just looking at sea or sky. And then some mangy sailor came up and spoiled the whole thing.
I know just what you mean, Lawler. The sort of fever you get when you feel the spray on your face and hear the slap of water against your bow. You feel like a king. The minute there's another human being around, it breaks the spell.
Aye. That's it. Nobody can understand it but another sailor. Well, give me your hand.
Aye, Captain.
Good luck, Captain Andrews. May the best man win.
May the best man win.
The two men set sail in their little boats. Gradually, they lose sight of land, then lose sight of each other. Behind them and ahead of them stretches the endless sea. Day follows day, black night follows night, and then a gray mist on the sea's face and a gray dawn breaking. For a time, all goes well. And then one day, heavy seas, mountains of oily green water swooping up and up and then down again. A sickening wrench as the frail boats hurl themselves over one surging mass of foam and then catapult down into the trough of the next giant wave. Captain Lawler's boat shivers, twists like an animal in a trap,
finally capsizes. A passing steamer sights Captain Lawler's overturned boat and rescues the exhausted man from the very jaws of the sea.
Lift off the port bow!
Soon after, Captain Andrews' boat also capsizes. With no steamer to help him, Andrews struggles alone against wind and waves. At last, he succeeds in righting his craft and clambers back into the boat. With his hand on the tiller, he starts once more. A month goes by. At last, after 40 days on a trackless waste of foam and spray, Andrew sights Land's End, Cornwall, England. Gradually, Captain Andrew's salt-bitten eyes see the shapes of men standing on the wharf. News of his daring exploit has already preceded him, and people are waiting to take his hand, slap him on the back, call him a hero. He has been acclaimed winner. His 40-day struggle against destruction is over. As he hauls in his sail and drops anchor, he nods to the waiting crowd, smiles at them. Outwardly, he looks happy, longing to be with his own kind once more. And yet, if we could but know Captain Andrews' thoughts as he makes ready to go ashore, we might hear the words of Masefield once again.
I must go down to the seas again, where the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. And all I ask is a merry yarn from a laughing fellow rover, and quiet sleep and a sweet dream when the long trick's over.
Strange as it seems, Captain Andrews and Captain Josiah Lawler set sail from Boston in 1890 for a race across the Atlantic, alone, in 14-foot dories. Andrews won by default. Later on, he and his young wife once more set sail in a small boat. They were never seen again.
Doesn't it strike you as strange that some people will go out of their way to make themselves uncomfortable and miserable when there isn't the slightest need for it? What about you? Do you take a laxative that is disagreeable, that upsets you, the sort that makes you say, never again? If you do, then the very next time you need a laxative, try X-Lax. Once you have, we think that no other laxative will ever do for you again, because X-Lax is as mild and as gentle as any laxative you should take. And yet, for all its gentleness, it is completely thorough. And taking X-Lax is a joy. Imagine, it tastes just like smooth, velvety chocolate. It just must be the better laxative because more people use it and like it than any other brand in the world. So get a box right now so you'll have it handy when you need a laxative. And X-Lax is very inexpensive. Only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. What is the world's most valuable book? Who are the poison eaters? Listen in to our next broadcast. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Blue eyes are colorless.